Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yada Mukunda Bhagavan Imam Mahima Jaho Svatanva Shravaniya Sat Kata Tada Aha Eva Aprati Buddha Chaitasam Abhadra Hetu Kali Anvavartarta Yada Mukunda Bhagavan Imam Mahim Jahasvatam Vashrana Shab Jahasvatam Vashrayani Yasatkata Tadahareva Prati Buddha Chaitasam Abhadra Hetu Kalevanga Vartata Yada Mukunda Bhagavan Nimanmahim Jahasvatam Vashvayaniya Satkata Tadahareva Prati Buddha Chaitasam Abhadra Hetu Kalevanga Vartata Yada Mukunda Bhagavan Nimanmahim Jahasvatam Vashrayaniya Satkata Tadahareva Prati Buddha Chaitasam Abhadra Hetu Kalevanga Vartata Yada when Mukunda Lord Krishna Bhagavan the personality of Godhead Imam this Mahim earth Jaho left Svatanva with his self same body Shravaniya Satkata Hearing about him is worthwhile.
Hearing about him is worthwhile.
Tada! At that time, Aha Eva, from the very day, Aprati Buddha Chaitasam. Of those whose minds are not sufficiently developed. Abhadra Hetu, cause of all ill fortune. Kali Angavartata, Kali, fully manifested. Translation and purport by the Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, left this earthly planet in his self-same form, from that very day, Kali, who had already partially appeared, became fully manifest to create inauspicious conditions for those who were endowed with a poor fund of knowledge. Purport. The influence of Kali can be enforced only upon those who are not fully developed in Krishna consciousness. One can neutralize the effects of Kali by by keeping oneself fully under the supreme care of the Personality of Godhead. The age of Kali ensued just after the battle of Kurukshetra, but it could not exert its influence because of the presence of the Lord. The Lord, however, left this earthly planet in his own transcendental body, and as soon as he left, the symptoms of Kali Yuga were envisioned by Maharaj Yudhisthira prior to Arjuna's arrival from Dwarka began to manifest. And Maharaj Yudhisthira rightly conjectured on the departure of the Lord from the earth. As we have already explained, the Lord left our sight just as when the sun sets, it is out of our sight. Omagyanati madandasha gunanjana shalaka chakshuru miritam yena tasmai shivaravena. So, what is the first point? The first point is Krishna doesn't die. Some aborigine may think the sun dies in the evening and it's born again in the morning. But someone who is learning, they know actually the sun just keeps traveling around, around and around and around. So Krishna, he may leave our sight, but Krishna does not die. Krishna is eternal, his form is eternal. Another interesting point is that Kali's influence can only be enforced upon those who are not fully developed in Krishna consciousness. Well, what does that say to us? You see, first of all, we know it's no fun to be under the influence of Kali. That's why we're in this movement. It's miserable. To be under the influence of Kali is not fun. It's a suffering condition. What is that? The tendency to quarrel. Prabhupada had to tell us, don't fight amongst yourselves. Why did Prabhupada say that to them? Because the devotees were fighting. Unnecessarily fighting under the influence of the age of fighting, the age of Kali. So if we are fighting amongst ourselves, it simply means that we have placed ourselves under the influence of the personality of Kali. So, the question is, how do we get out of this miserable state where we're fighting amongst ourselves? Prabhupada answers that question for us. Prabhupada gives us everything we need to know. If you carefully read Prabhupada's purports, you will understand everything. How to make your life perfect, and how to make ISKCON perfect, and how to make the whole world perfect. Everything will be clearly understood. Prabhupada gives the secret right here in the first sentence of the purport. The influence of Kali can be enforced only upon those who are not fully developed in Krishna consciousness. So that means if we have a fighting propensity still in our heart, the personality of Kali still taking up his residence in our heart, it means we are not fully developed in Krishna consciousness. We are somewhat developed in Krishna consciousness, that's why we are here. You see, we are somewhat developed. But we are not fully developed. That's the problem. The problems that we have individually and collectively as a society are due to the fact that we are not fully developed in Krishna consciousness. That's why I give these seminars on pure devotional service, as we gave night before last. Because pure devotional service means to be fully developed in Krishna consciousness. Consider a continuum from 0 to 100%. Everyone wake up, please. Wake up, wake up. No sleep. Very important, you know what I'm saying? Very important. Consider a continuum of 0 to 100%. to the extent we are developing Krishna consciousness, let's say I'm 40% developing Krishna consciousness, that means 60% I'm under the influence of Kali. If I'm 30% developing Krishna consciousness, I'm 70% under the influence of Kali. If I'm 99% developing Krishna consciousness, I am 1% under the influence of Kali. So now do you see why it's important that we focus on developing pure Krishna bhakti? Because to the extent that we do not do so, we are under the influence of the personality of Kali, which means misery. It's a miserable thing. Kali is a cruel master. He exploits. If you agree to be under his influence, you will be miserable. That's a fact. So we can also add that to the formula. If you're 30% Krishna conscious, you're 30% blissful, and 70% miserable. If you're 80% Krishna conscious, you're 80% blissful and 20% miserable. So how miserable do you want to be and how blissful do you want to be? It's your choice. Nobody is holding you back. You see? You can't say, well, you know, the temple council is holding me back. They don't realize my potential. They're not engaging me properly. The temple president doesn't recognize my talent. You see, you can't blame it on anyone. Whatever anxiety you're going through is simply your own lack of Krishna consciousness, that's all. Prabhupada confirmed this. There's one nice letter. There was one devotee, one brahmachari. He thought, well, I'm not happy as a brahmachari, so I'm going to get married. Then I'll be happy. Well, he got married, and he still wasn't happy. So after being married for a little short while, he wrote Prabhupada, I'm not happy as a householder, so now I want to take sannyasa. Prabhupada wouldn't go for it. Because he can understand this person is simply on the mental platform. Prabhupada told him this. He said, your unhappiness is not due to the external situation. It is due to your own lack of Krishna consciousness. So this is a very valid principle that applies to each and every one of us in each and every situation we may find ourselves. If you're not fully happy, you can't blame it on another devotee. You can't blame it on your physical health. You can't blame it on Fiji politics, you know, the nation of Fiji's politics. You can't blame it on the economy. You can't blame your unhappiness on anything except one thing and one thing only, and that is your lack of Krishna consciousness. In other words, you are 100% responsible for your state of consciousness. Nobody else. Nothing else. No one else. It's all on your shoulders. So, you may not like that. Well, it's too much responsibility. But actually, with responsibility comes power also. You have the power to achieve unlimited happiness. You have the power to taste unlimited nectar at every second. You simply have to tap in to the reservoir of pure love of God sitting there in your heart. If I told you that you have a fortune worth $10 trillion buried in your backyard, would you get interested? $10 trillion? And I gave you the appropriate shovel and I told you exactly what it did, would you get even more interested? deadly way. $10 trillion. You could buy the whole Fijian government with that money. You could pay to buy all the politicians. You know, them all chanting and dancing. Dancing dogs. No offense. Anyway, the point is this, that now I'm telling you, you have a fortune more valuable than $10 trillion right there in your heart. And I'm giving you the appropriate means to tap into that treasure. You simply have to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, without offense. Because many people say, oh, Sankarshan Prabhu, I've been chanting for so many years, but I'm not tasting the nectar. There must be something wrong with the process. No, there's something wrong with your chanting. You are chanting with offense. You are nam aparadi. That's why you're not experiencing the nectar. One pure utterance of the Hare Krishna mantra contains so much nectar, the entire universe cannot hold that nectar. There's so much nectar in one pure utterance of Hare Krishna. So we are nam-aparadis. That's the problem. So therefore, every day we recite the 10 offenses. We should be very attentive to understand what are these offenses and how I can avoid them. Whenever I initiate a new disciple, I always lecture on the 10 offenses. Because this is the most important thing for the disciple, the initiate. He or she must chant and avoid 16 rounds and avoid the offenses. Because that's how the nectar will be tasted. It's so important then. Now we'll look at the second sentence of the purport. One can neutralize the effects of Kali by keeping oneself fully under the supreme care of the personality of Godhead. That's an amazing concept. In chemistry, you can neutralize I'm not a chemist, but can you not, with something alkaline, can you not neutralize something which is acidic? Isn't that how it works? Alkaline and acidic neutralize one another. Yeah. So, the effects of Kali Yuga can be neutralized by keeping oneself under the supreme care of the personality of Godhead. Well, how do you do that? One may say, this sounds really good. Now, how do I keep myself under the care of the Supreme Personality of God? Mm-hmm. Krishna takes care of his devotees through his devotees. Guru is there. He is the representative of Krishna. So we put ourselves under the care of our spiritual master. Now normally, you're under someone's care, that phrase would be used like when you're a patient. I'm under a doctor's care because I'm sick and the doctor is giving me treatment. I'm under his care, isn't it? Well, that's a fact. The guru is our physician. He is our soul physician. We are suffering from a cancer of the heart called ahankara. And we put ourselves under the care of the bona fide spiritual master who gives us the medicine, Harinam, who gives us the diet, prasadam, and gives us the remedial measures for becoming free of the disease of the heart, the cancer of the heart, false pride. So if we submit to the care of our Guru Maharaj and his representatives, then we become free from the influence of the age of Kali. Another point is that Even though Kali had entered just after the battle of Kurukshetra, it could not exert its influence because of the Lord's presence. So that's another angle of understanding. If you keep Krishna always present, Kali cannot touch you. And what is the easiest way to keep Krishna always present? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Ram. Some people say, well, why do we chant 16 now? Well, actually, it was meant to chant 24 hours a day. Satatam kirtiyantam. You're actually meant to chant Hare Krishna 24 hours daily. But as a concession, Prabhupada has given us 16. Why no less than 16? Because anything less will not give you a sufficient spiritual charge to make it through the 24 hours. It's like, how many of you carry mobile phones? I know one of you, some of you have them. Now what happens if you don't charge it sufficiently at night? Then in the middle of the afternoon, a call comes in, you pick it up and it drops dead. You see? Your mobile phone is finished in the middle of the afternoon. You didn't charge it sufficiently. So 16 rounds is the minimum charge to make it through to the next 24-hour period, you see. That's why at least 16 rounds. If you don't chant 16, you're going to lose your Krishna consciousness somewhere during the day. You won't have enough charge in your spiritual battery to make it through the day. So you can chant more, that's great. If you go less than 16, you're not going to be Krishna conscious. You're going to lose it. You don't have enough of the charge in your spiritual batteries to make it. So at least 16 rounds daily will keep Krishna there, and you can neutralize the influence of Kali Yuga. So our time is running short. We could explain any, we could go into much further detail. As any one verse in purport actually can have volumes of books written on it. It is such a deep subject matter. But since time is running short, we'll ask now if there's any questions. Don't be shy. Yes?
When is the best time to do all 16 rounds?
I can't.
When is the time to do? Best time to do our 16 rounds?
Oh, the best thing, my personal experience is, if you can get 16 rounds and before the sun comes up, that's the best. As soon as the sun comes up, Rajaguna starts to come in. My preference is to get all my rounds done before Mangalarti. So I can use that period after Mangalarti for writing. You know, Krishna conscious writing. And my preference is to get all 16 rounds done before Mangalarti every day. That's really the sweetest japa for me. And for householders who are living outside the temple, who have a hard time getting rounds done, I say, just make a vow. You won't eat until you finish your 16 rounds. You'll get your rounds done, for sure. You say, okay, nothing, no food goes into the mouth until 16 rounds have come out of the mouth. That's an easy way. The best thing is to get up early. Like sometimes I have college students, you know, they'll ask me, they'll say, Guru Maharaj, how much should I do? How do I balance studies and job? I say, it's very simple. Go to bed early and get up early, finish 16 rounds, and then dive into your studies after you finish 16 rounds. If you make 16 rounds your first priority every day, there's nothing more important, because that's the vow we made to our Guru Maharaj. That's the most important thing we can do every day, is to do those 16 rounds. And do them with purity and with focus. So, and that's the best thing. Early as possible. Questions, Mark? Don't be shy. I mean, come on. The only yes. What did she say? Prabhupada, when I got my Gayatri Mantra from Prabhupada, it was a really auspicious day. It was Bhakti Siddhanta's appearance day. But he was giving instructions to the devotees when they should chant. Prabhupada has given two different formulas. He would say at 6, 12, and 6, and he also said sunrise, noon and sunset. So the ideal time to chant Gayatri is when the sun is rising. Now, for practicality, many devotees find the best time is right after Tulsi worship. That's what I do. As soon as Tulsi worship is over, I immediately do Gayatri Mantra. The easiest time, just that way you don't forget it, it's just done. I personally do it after Tulsi Puja every morning. Oh, I never heard the Prabhupada said anything. One Gaudiya told me, you chant it twice, the next one. That's what one Gaudiya told me. It's not gospel because I never heard the Prabhupada said that. But one Gaudiya, Sureshwar Prabhu, he told me like that many years ago. He said, that's what you should do. You miss one, you should chant twice the next time to make up for it. It's a good idea because that would remind you to not forget. You take it seriously, not to skip it. Yeah.
What actually saying? If somebody misses in the morning or some way somehow he's engaged in something, he could not do his Gayatri times over. Can he do that Gayatri at midday two times?
That's what I would just suggest. One Gayatri suggested to me like that. If you miss in the morning, you do it twice. I didn't hear it from Prabhupada, I just heard it from one godbrother. But it makes a lot of sense because it makes up for, partially makes up for missing it, and it reminds you that you missed it, and don't miss it again. So I think it's a good idea, personally, that if you miss it the next time you do Gayatri, you do it twice Gayatri. Two times, one and then another. I think that I recommend that.
Sometimes we are engaged in the service of Krishna and in cooking or somewhere, we miss that time, particular time of guidance.
I suggest that. Now, one request I have for our ISKCON managers, I notice this all over the world, that sometimes there'll be a pravachan going on or a seminar going on. And 12 noon will come, and there's so many Brahmins there, all ISKCON devotees together having a seminar, and then there'll be no Gayatri. My request is if there's a seminar going on, maybe there's a council meeting, and 12 noon comes, then everyone, we should stop the meeting and we all chant Gayatri together at 12 noon sharp, and then carry on to the meeting, because otherwise everybody misses their Gayatri. Doesn't make sense. I mean, I go to sometimes big festivals or big seminars or in Vrindavan or Parikram, and 12 noon comes and somebody is telling Krishna's pastimes and they just go on talking about Krishna and everybody misses their Gayatri. It's one thing if you're working a job in the office, what can you do? But if we're all devotees together and we're having a board meeting or some seminar and 12 noon comes and we say, okay, now we'll take a 5-minute Gayatri break. We can all chant Gayatri Mantra together, 12 minutes. I request our ISKCON managers that we should do like this. Because Gayatri is an important thing. Prabhupada gave this to us, this Gayatri Mantra. Question, yes.
Beautiful. He said some devotees, they chant early in the morning at 4:15. He's trying to say, is it that right?
Gayatri?
Early in the morning about 4:15. Some devotees here chant 4:15. He said, is it right?
I'll give you an example. Just like somebody is going to service in the Diti room. So he has to chant Gayatri about 4:00, before 4. He has to chant.
As part of the puja?
No, before going to the altar, he has to chant Gayatri. Is that all right? That is sufficient? Or he has to come and chant again?
He chants the full Gayatri mantra as part of waking the deities in the morning?
That's right.
No, it's not about that. He's giving you wrong impression.
If he's chanting the full Gayatri as part of the wake the deity making.
No.
Let me explain it. They are saying that when Pujari goes before doing the deity worship, he chants his Gayatri before doing any other puja. Before that, so is it alright to chant that before 4:30 or 4:00? That maybe chanting 4:00 or 4:00 before?
He's chanting the full Gayatri now. Why is he chanting it so early? What's the point? Is he supposed to do it as part of the waking? Or is it just a matter of convenience?
Just a matter of convenience.
It's part of the daily waking?
No.
No, just convenience. I wouldn't do that. Because in Austin, I wake the deities every... When we're there, I wake the deities every morning. I don't do my full Gayatri when I wake the deities. It's too early. Supposed to chant at sunrise, the three sanjas, you see. It's called sanja. Sunrise, high noon, and sunset. So it's better to chant closer to the actual sunrise time. Questions more?
What if you're doing deep worship and the sun is rising?
Then find the most convenient time that's closest to the sun.
During the process of deity worship, there is a time to chant the Gayatri. So only the Gayatri can do that time during that process.
These are very detailed questions according to individual situations. Actually, Prabhupada one time was asked many detailed questions about worshipping Tulsi. And he was patiently answering all these detailed questions. But finally, one question he thought was not... He said, this question is a matter of common sense. He said, if you don't have common sense, then ask somebody who does. Sometimes, you know, we get a little carried away about in a little finicky details. To be too attached to the rules and regulations is a cause of fall down, and to be too lenient also. We have to find that proper balance. So the proper balance is this. Teisham sapati yuktanam bhajatam patipo lukam. I'm talking about proper balance. Now the deities are ready now? They're not. When is the class end today?
It's late.
As soon as they come out, then we can end. So I can keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Questions more?
The Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the most powerful of all the mantras. So why does one need to change the Gayatri mantra?
So the question is, since Hare Krishna Mantra is everything you need, then why should we chant Gayatri Mantra? That's a good question. We have a good answer also. I need to tell you individually that I may not say it in the past. The chanting of Hare Krishna mantra means the purity. It means along with chanting, you obey your Guru Maharaj's order. Since Guru Maharaj Sri Prabhupada's order is to also chant Gayatri mantra, then we chant Hare Krishna. Actually, Gayatri Mantra helps one to chant better Hare Krishna. It serves the Hare Krishna chant. Everything that we're doing in this movement is centered around chanting Hare Krishna. Everything that we do helps us to chant Hare Krishna better. That's why we do it. So many things. We offer obeisances to our spiritual master. We study the Bhagavatam. So many things we do besides chanting Hare Krishna. But they are all there to help us to chant Hare Krishna mantra better. That's the answer. So we'll stop here. Kramtaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.